Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show. Tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Stick around, because I'm going to announce an idea I've been toying with that I think lends even more transparency to my ministry. If you think it's a good idea, email me and let me know, and then I will contact the folks at Merchantside Marketing Group who built CatholicSportsRadio.net, as what I'm going to be talking about involves the website. If you haven't spent a ton of time on there, look around. I love all the features that they put on there for me. You can submit prayer requests through the website. You can read about my sports and faith background. You can book me to speak at your events. You can see how and where to subscribe to this show. I love CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I'm still so grateful that I got to know the owner of Merchantside Marketing Group. He is a Christian, and he loved the idea of Catholic Sports Radio, and he immediately said, "I want my company to build the website for that." And I was really flattered, because they've won awards for the work that they do. Check them out and let them do something similar for you. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, you will see some of their ads. You can click through those to go to their website and get in touch with them. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The more that we see the lives that professional athletes lead, the easier it is to become envious. With social media so prevalent and just a tap away, these sports heroes are very accessible in terms of their homes, their possessions, their trips. We get many opportunities to see what they do, where they go, and how they live away from the playing field, away from the stadiums and arenas where they compete. There is a, watch out, here comes that word, there is a temptation to see everything that these individuals have and react with, "Psh, must be nice." Suddenly, these athletes who we admire in competition elicit resentment from us. It's a trap we need to avoid. In a morning meditation 8 years ago this month, Pope Francis said, quote, "The Bible says that the devil came into the world through envy. A community, a family is destroyed by this envy that the devil teaches in the heart and causes one to speak ill of the other," end quote. Friends, let us pray for the strength to resist envy and replace those moments with gratitude for the things that we do have, like the Father's love. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the director of athletics and the head men's and women's tennis coach at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, where he has led those two teams to a combined 7 conference championships and been named the Coach of the Year 5 times since taking over as head coach for the 2016-2017 season. He had previously worked at a Catholic high school and is currently pursuing a Master's of Theology. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Scott Grevey.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be with you. When I look at the list of guests that you've had on your show before, it's just a real honor to be included in that list and to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Scott, and I'm blessed to have you and all those others on the show. In getting ready for this episode, it appeared to me that you have always been an Ohio guy. Talk about where in the Buckeye State you were born and raised, as well as the family you grew up in.
Yes, I've always lived in Ohio. I was born in West Central Ohio, in German Catholic land over there. We call it God's country. many of the German immigrants that came up through the Cincinnati area moved north, and and my family was part of that group, and grew up in West Central Ohio in a small town called Van Wert, Ohio. Went to Catholic grade school and spent a lot of time just with family. Most of our engagements as I was younger were very centered around family.
And what was the family size in terms of siblings?
So I have three brothers. I'm one of four boys. My dad is the oldest of nine children, and his siblings all had several children. So our family is very large. So most of our family gatherings were very big, and lots of family around.
And what did things look like for you sports-wise growing up in terms of participation?
Interestingly enough, early on, my dad comes from a more blue-collar family, and so really all of his siblings worked when they were younger, so sports was not a huge thing in our family. I started to get interested in sports at a pretty young age. And most of it revolved around baseball, football. I got involved in golf at an early age. We didn't play sports as a family, but as I met friends, we just kind of got involved in each other's sporting activities. And through junior high, really my main three sports were golf, basketball, and baseball.
Okay. Well, we're starting already to get the sense, and I had the same feeling as I prepared for today. The appearance as though you had deep roots in the Catholic faith. You went to Catholic grade school, and even though you went to public high school, you went on to a Catholic college also.
Yes, so I went to St. Mary's Catholic School, which is a Catholic grade school for junior high and high school. We went to the local junior high and high school, Van Wert High School. Interestingly enough, my parents wanted me to go to a Catholic high school, Delta St. John's, which was about 12 miles away. But just my friends were all going to Van Wert High School, and my parents didn't push it, so I ended up going to the public school. Then went on to the University of Dayton Catholic School, Catholic College. I have to be honest, at that point in time in my life, I wasn't really focused on that. My number one choice for college was actually over on the East Coast in Lehigh University. And the reason I didn't go there was because I didn't get in. They're very selective, and my academics didn't meet their goals. So literally my last choice was the University of Dayton, and my parents knew it was a Catholic school, so that's why they wanted me to go there.
And you share with the audience your major and your minor at U of Dayton?
Yes. So my major was in business management. And then, it was interesting. I never really thought about it, but I started taking ethics classes at Dayton, and I really loved the classes. And so I ended up minoring in religious studies.
Well, go ahead and tell us about your college experience then, because it sounds like this is not, you know, as you said, that wasn't your first choice, and you say, gee, you know, I ended up actually minoring in religious studies. So what was your college experience like?
It probably much like many folks who are listening to this. I went away to college, you know, really figuring I was going to a Catholic school, so things must be good there. When I got there, I immediately got involved in a party culture, which was heavy at the University of Dayton.
Wow.
And through that culture, I struggled academically, and it was really a tough time for me. And then at the same time, faith-wise, because I was minoring in religious studies, I took a lot of religious studies classes. And so I had priests and others who I felt, you know, must know their faith. I didn't know my faith that well because I really wasn't catechized well as a young person. And so I remember my very first class where I started to question the faith.
Wow.
Was the most popular class on campus, and it was called Christian Marriage, and basically about every student on campus took this class. And so there was a popular priest that taught the class, and I remember about halfway through the semester, you know, we started hearing things like, you know, that cohabitation was, you know, not necessarily a sin, and homosexuality wasn't necessarily a sin, and just all kinds of things that made me start to think that, you know, is this faith really so important to me?
Mm. Well, and I think it's important, audience, that you hear this, because I think we get trapped into hearing about a Catholic institution and immediately you have this picture of everybody who goes there must be at the top of their game faith-wise, and there's no partying that goes on and nobody does things like question the faith. And so it's important that we have guests like Scott come on and tell us these stories, because it's real life and it's what he went through. But obviously things changed, as we're going to hear as the interview goes on. Scott, I mentioned in the intro that prior to your current job, you worked at a Catholic high school. Granted, it was not a sports job, but how deliberate was that? Meaning getting a job in a Catholic environment. And by the way, what leads someone who had been running car dealerships for, I believe, 15 years to suddenly decide to go work at a Catholic high school?
Well, interesting story. So really, if I pick up from, you know, my experience in college, I call it my great salvation through my time in college was that my wife and I started dating during that time. And although she was not Catholic, she was a devout Protestant and just really loved Jesus. And, you know, from that experience in my life, I started to see that and knew that that was something that I wanted in my life.
Mm.
And so dating her and our relationship, you know, really encouraged that in my life. Her prayer for me encouraged that in my life. And as we progressed through our relationship, you know, we were young at the time. We thought, well, we can do this, and she can remain Protestant, I can remain Catholic, and we can raise the kids. Well, we quickly realized in our marriage that wasn't going to work. And, mm-hmm. and fortunately, we had a priest who married us, 87 years old, who was just a fantastic spiritual director. And, you know, he told us, you know, you need to at least plan on raising the children Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jill committed to that early on, and she was very committed to that and never backed away from that. So as we progressed in our marriage, we moved to be able to be closer to family, moved from Cincinnati to be able to be closer to family. And when we did that, we were really intentional in our prayer life that we were praying for friends. And the first thing that happened to us was we met some old friends of ours that were family friends that invited us to come to Franciscan University for the Defending the Faith conference. And that was a life-changing experience for both of us. If your audience isn't aware, Dr. Scott Hahn and his wife Kimberly run that conference. They're the hosts for that conference. And that was not our first interaction with the Hahns and their conversion story, but it began a real awakening in our lives that helped us to really grow in our Catholic faith. And we, after spending 3 days at Franciscan, we just knew that this was where we wanted our kids to come to school. We didn't care what we had to do in order for that to happen. But through my experience in college, I just knew that my kids needed to be at Franciscan University. And that kind of started the road towards us changing a lot of things in life. At the time, we thought, oh, well, you know, we're just going to save up as much money as we can and to be able to pay for the kids' education. And never did I think that I was going to be working here. But, you know, we started, I started a adoration hour, and I always tell people, if you ever want to hear the Lord speak to you, take 3 a.m. in the morning as your adoration hour. It's just a powerful experience. And I ended up in 2004 really hearing God's call in my life that he wanted me to go back to school and work on a master's in theology. And I was just like, Lord, I've got all of this going on, business, family. You know, we were young at the time, and, you know, I was just like, you know, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it, but you got to figure it out. You got to pave the way. And so fast forward about 5 years, and I had really kind of forgot about the calling. I mean, I knew it was there, but, mm-hmm. you know, kind of felt like, you know, the Lord wasn't taking that step to move us forward. So literally, we were at Mass, and the priest that we had at the time was very unique. He finished every single homily with a question. And the question on this particular day was, is God calling you to change jobs? And I just looked down at the pew at Jill, and she looked down at the pew at me, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, so that started the whole process. My family was fantastic through it. My dad and my older brother really helped us to be able to take a step back from the business, for me to start my classes in theology, and that's what we did. And that took us down another road. It's just a long story, but God worked it all out to where, you know, during my time studying, I went to work at a Catholic high school as a director of development.
Okay.
Worked there for a couple of years, and this position, well, not the one that I'm in now, but a position at Franciscan University came open, and we ended up making that move to Steubenville. And it's just a great story of how God's divine providence, when we listen to it, even when those things seem insurmountable and unattainable, that he can make those things happen.
Yeah, and folks, you've heard Scott talk a little bit about his wife now, but there's an amazing story about he and his wife first meeting versus when they started dating. But before I have him talk about that, I am considering having a page built on CatholicSportsRadio.net so as to have a published list that gets updated on an ongoing basis to detail the costs that I face in running this Catholic Sports Radio ministry. As much as I try to be thorough in giving out as many specific examples as I can on the air of those expenses that I'm challenged with and doing all of this for more than 2.5 years now, I can't expect every listener to have heard every episode to this point and thus know what all those costs are. I am just one person doing all of this, meaning booking the guests, doing the research, preparing for each week's interview, recording the episode, doing the post-production on it, the editing, plus keeping up the website, doing the social media posts, and so on. There's no staff and no volunteers helping me, and I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. So when you hear me asking you to consider supporting the show, it's because I'm otherwise having to go into my pocket to try to cover all the expenses that come my way, which in all truth does get quite challenging. I'm not sure that I realized when I first created this ministry how many expenses there would actually be. Thankfully, there have been some listeners and even guests who have contributed financially to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, but there's definitely room for more. So I ask that you pray about this ministry as part of your tithing. Ask yourself if you're getting value out of listening to Catholic Sports Radio and if it's helping you in your faith life. And when you hopefully find yourself answering yes to both of those, please take action, because I do want to continue to be obedient to the call I felt from God to do this show and try to move as many people as I can in their faith life. It's very simple and convenient to bless this show financially. You can utilize the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. There are no minimums, and there's not even a drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. It's fast and easy when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will write you back with where you can send a check to. I will happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. I will admit that I did not know until I was doing my prep for this interview that Franciscan University, quote-unquote, just brought back varsity athletics in 2007. Scott, taking off the tennis coach hat and putting on the director of athletics hat, share with us about athletics at Franciscan, the mix of faith and sports, of course.
Faith is just very integrated into our athletic program, and quite honestly, I would not do this at any other university. Mm. I tell people I didn't wake up or grow up as a young man and say, man, my goal is to be an athletic director at the NCAA level. Never once did I ever think that that was, you know, where I would end up. However, when I got here to Franciscan, one thing that I noticed is just faith is integrated into every aspect of the university. And it's just a really unique culture to be associated with and to be, you know, really, you know, God calls each of us to be a caretaker. And, you know, you just feel like you have to take care of that pearl that he gives you. But when you look at athletics here at Franciscan, you know, God bless my predecessors, you know, people like Father Michael Scanlon, Chris Ledgard, who started this athletics program here. When they brought athletics back to Franciscan University, they were very committed on making sure that the faith was the reason behind the program. And so, you know, it's very interesting that if you talk to our athletes today, one of the phrases they use quite often is we play for an audience of one. That has never been a phrase that has been promoted by administration here. It's something that they picked up on through their interaction in athletics, and it's just interesting to me how it gets passed down each year. But you know, I tell the athletes every year, and I'm just trying to build upon the foundation that was laid here long before I got here. But I tell the athletes that, you know, our goal, our mission every year is to help each other grow closer to Jesus. If we succeed in doing that, then we have done what God has called us to do. You know, we may win championships, we'll hang banners, we'll do all those things that you do in athletics because God calls us to win. God calls us to compete and to succeed. But in the end, if we're not growing closer to Him, then, you know, winning a championship, winning a game, it's really in vain. And that, you know,
that's right.
A great thing this year is that our theme, the university theme, is from Psalm 127. And that psalm says that those who labor and do not do it with letting the Lord build the house, then they labor in vain. And I really looked at that last word, vanity, and it means useless. So it means that if we're building something and God's not building it, He's not in charge of it, then it's useless. So, you know, it's something that we're focusing on this year, but it's something that, you know, our athletes have focused on for years here, you know, because they look at it and they say that if we're not doing this in order to educate, evangelize, then we're just doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful when you see them win a championship, win that very important game, because you can see that God's giving them a platform. He's giving them that platform in order to bring others closer to Him. And that's what is really so beautiful about Franciscan athletics. And it's just a real, real joy and pleasure to be associated with that.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So on that note, talk about being the tennis coach, a rather individual sport, and the accessibility of student athletes, meaning probably being easier to have meaningful one-on-one relationships in terms of personal development, spiritual growth, as opposed to, say, a football coach that has, what, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 players on a team.
Yeah, so, I mean, tennis has always been important to me. I started playing tennis in high school. I literally quit all my other sports just so I could play tennis. Mm. It just really captured my heart when I started playing. And being a coach here at Franciscan is such a blessing. You phrased the question around being able to influence as a coach. You know, it's very interesting to me. I think most of the time I'm influenced more by the athletes than I influence them. But in tennis, it's unique from the standpoint of, you're right, it's an individual sport, but it's also a team sport from the aspect of being able to really focus on how does your performance affect your teammates and what does it mean to offer up our sacrifice, our effort in order to grow the team and to help each other grow closer to God.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, we had a chaplain by the name of Father Daniel Maria, just an awesome guy. And he really challenged our teams to focus on why. Why are we coming out here? Why do we step on the court? Why do we practice? Why do we compete? And it was interesting to see the dynamic of the team change from the standpoint of they now knew that when they stepped on the court for practice, which sometimes can be drudgery, right?
Sure.
I mean, sometimes we go out there and we're put so much effort out there, but you know, we don't feel like we're getting anything out of it. Now they started actually making and putting initials on their shoes so that when we would pray before we started practice, they would look down and see and be reminded, here are people that I've offered to pray for. Mm. And my prayer needs to be out here in practice today.
Wow.
It needs to be through the sweat and the tears that I'm gonna pour out in this practice.
Wow.
So the reasoning, the why behind everything really started to drive what we were doing.
Yeah.
And it also changed all of us. We started to see that, oh, God's calling us to much more than just tennis, to just a sport.
And how?
And so it's really just perpetuated itself.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We are 1 month away from my 2-year anniversary of my Curcio weekend. And Scott, you have been at it for far, far longer. Share with the audience about your extensive involvement in the Curcio movement.
Oh, wow. What a great blessing. In 2002, my spiritual director at the time literally walked into my office. So we had the dealership at the time, and he would literally come out and bring his car out for service. One day he walks into my office and he looks and he says, "Scott, you're going to Curcio on this date, and I'll take care of Jill and the kids. Don't worry about them." And I was just like, I just trusted Father P. So I was like, okay, that's the date that I'm going. And what a life-changing experience. The Curcio method, for those that aren't familiar with the Curcio, is really founded on three pillars, and that's piety, prayer, study, and action. And when you put those into your life, it's amazing how quickly your life gets more focused. You really see what God is calling you to and the things that he's asking us to do. I met my best friend on our Curcio weekend.
Mm.
But even past the weekend itself, it's really the method, right?
Yeah.
Of prayer, of being focused on study, of taking those two things and putting them into action and seeking those opportunities for evangelization. And, you know, I've been very blessed to meet some really good friends. The sad part of it is that since we moved away from Cincinnati, the Curcio movement isn't quite as active in this area, probably because there's just so many other opportunities for spiritual growth around this area of Ohio. But, yeah, I was able to work on several Curcio weekends, to serve in those capacities as a speaker, a rector, and just really grew so much and made so many great friends. But probably the most important thing through all of that was just the way of life, the forming of your day-to-day activity, and how when we really root ourselves in prayer, really communicating with God, really staying connected to Him, just how much He can change our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And there are two programs that you're involved with that I'd love to hear more about. What is the Militia Immaculata, and what is the Alliance of the Two Hearts?
The Immaculata comes from St. Maximian Kolbe. He started the Immaculata back in his early days as a friar, and encouraged his brother friars to consecrate themselves to Mary. So actually, before I even got involved, I had done a consecration to Mary with my best friend. And it was in reading St. Maximian's biography with my oldest son. He was studying St. Maximian at the time, and I had seen that this opportunity was available. So I actually just went online and searched it out, and it's really simple. You do some prayers each day and consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother, and you just really commit your life to serving her, to giving all of what you do to her, all of the graces, all the joys, and allow her to dispense those things. And just a real joy. And I encourage it for everybody. If you haven't made a consecration to the Blessed Mother, do so. It'll really change your life. The Alliance of the Two Hearts was something that two parishioners got our family involved in at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Wapakoneta. They were doing reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And your listeners may know that those are actually two separate forms of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And what they found was this program that allowed you to do both together. So on First Fridays, you would do the consecration to the Sacred Heart. And on First Saturdays, you did the consecration to the Immaculate Heart. Well, they picked up this program where you would do it, and it was basically an overnight program. So you would go on Friday night, spend the entire night at Mass and prayer, and make the consecration to the Immaculate Heart on Saturday. And just an awesome way to offer up sacrifice, fasting, in order to really intercede for our brothers and sisters, and just a great way to get your family involved in praying together as well.
Wow. Well, as we get set to close here, share with us the story about how and when you met your wife and how long the two of you been married, plus, of course, about the big Catholic family that the two of you are raising.
So Jill and I actually, we figured out when we were dating that we were actually in the same preschool class together. But of course, we didn't know each other, didn't date until we were in college. I told the story earlier, just how Jill's faith and her love of Jesus really brought me closer to the Lord. And so we got married, and it was actually through the Curcio that Jill ended up coming into the church in 2003.
Ah.
And so we have 8 children now. Our oldest is 25, and our youngest is 7. We're very blessed, 6 boys, 2 girls, and the way that they all came into the family was unique as well, because there's the 2 older boys, 2 middle boys, 2 girls, and then the 2 younger boys. So they all kind of grew up or have grown up with a partner. And it's interesting to see the dynamics of how they've become close friends and how they have that partner in life. But yeah, we've been very blessed. Jill is definitely the anchor of the family. She keeps us all rooted and focused on what's important, and her faith is just something to behold, because she's really been that light to this family and helping us all to grow closer to the Lord.
Well, and we're grateful for her and somebody like her. It seems like it's something that we hear often from male guests on this show about the wife really being the rock and the foundation in the family. And So God bless Jill for what she's doing for you and the 8 children. But Scott, I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio with what a busy schedule you have as the director of athletics, as the men's and women's tennis coach, as a husband, as a father. So thank you for making time. God bless you and your family.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Bruce, for having me, and God bless your ministry. And as a development guy, I would just, encourage your listeners to please support Bruce and his ministry. It's always great to have positive Catholic media out there. And Bruce, God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott. I do appreciate that. And listeners, we will look at Scott right now as the men's and women's tennis coach and do our closing prayer as something that came to me from the National Catholic Coaches Association. Let's do that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Joshua 24, "As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Lord, I desire to serve you. Help me to make the right choices and encourage my players to do the same. Give me strength to act with integrity, even when others choose not to. Allow me to stand firm in my decisions and rest in the peace and love that only you can provide. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.